it's me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Now, it was a week ago that Gordon Goldsborough was here last, and he told me at the end of his last installment of Abandoned Manitoba what we were going to talk about this week, but that was a long time ago, Gordon. Help me with this. What was your clue last week?
Well, I said that the site would feature a fine grove.
A fine grove. So what is it you're here to talk about?
Well, not a grove of trees. In fact, I'm here to talk about Frederick Philip Grove, the author.
Oh, I read him when I was younger. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Settlers of the Marsh.
Indeed. I think that's one of his classics, in fact. You know, people would argue, I suppose, on who Manitoba's greatest late author was. And I think many people would say Margaret Lawrence, perhaps. I don't know. I really like Frederick Philip Grove, but not only just because it's things that relate to an area of province I really love, the area around Lake Manitoba, but also because he's just so gritty and frank. I mean, he talked about subjects back in the 1920s that were just unheard of, and it was written in a very sort of frank manner. You know, he would say things that people just didn't want to hear about, you know, violence, topics that just were not that common at the time. And now, people with benefit of hindsight look at some of his work at some of the most gritty and real depictions of the pioneer experience in Manitoba.
So what's his story? I recall hearing that he had some kind of false identity.
That's right.
Is that true?
What I can tell, it's true. Yeah. He came here as from Germany, or what it was called at that time, Prussia. He came here as Felix Paul Greva. And he was a felon. He had served time in prison for a year for fraud. And I think he probably came to Canada because it was a way to reinvent himself. You know, he could put his criminal past behind him. So he arrived here in Manitoba around 1909 as Frederick Philip Grove. Because he was fluent in German, he could get a job as a teacher in some of the schools in the area around Winkler, of course, where there were a lot of other German immigrants.
So where did he settle?
Well, initially, he came to the vicinity of Winkler, but because at the time teachers were often quite migratory, they went wherever the job was, he ended up spending his times all over southern Manitoba. He was in Winkler for a while, in the town itself. He was in Verdun for a while. He was in Gladstone for quite a while. He apparently really liked the area around Gladstone. He was in a small school, a one-room schoolhouse in the middle of nowhere, somewhere near Alonsa, and he was at Eden. But I think the place where he is most connected with now, today, is Rapid City, Manitoba.
And so when did he begin to write?
Well, that's the story. So he was the principal of the school in Rapid City from 1922 to 1924. And he had been sort of dabbling in writing up to that point, and I think he hadn't met with much success. And I think maybe he felt then to really do it well, he had to commit time to it. So he retired from teaching in 1924 from Rapid City, and he retired to could devote himself to writing. And so it was after that that he began publishing his most well-known books. You mentioned, of course, Settlers of the Marsh, which was published the following year, 1925. He also wrote A Search for America in 1927, Our Daily Bread in 1928. So there was a series of novels, none of which really met with a lot of commercial success. So ultimately, I think he did depend to a large extent on the success of his wife as a teacher. She kept the family afloat while his writing career kind of faltered. But eventually they moved to Ontario. He lived in Simcoe, Ontario for his last days, and he died in 1949. Still not widely recognized as a major Canadian writer, but it's only so in the last half dozen or half century or so that he's really come into his own as a writer.
I think I read Settlers of the Marsh at least 20 years ago. It came out in one of those reissue editions of Great Overlooked Canadian Writers.
That's right. Indeed. Yeah. But they say the connection then to abandonment is in the school that he was the principal of in Rapid City from 22 to 24. The building still stands, although unfortunately it is empty. So I thought I'd just draw that to people's attention.
Any indication that Grove taught there or was principal there?
Yes, there is, in fact, because when the school closed as a school in 1973, they decided to turn it over into a museum. So the school division sold it to the town for a dollar, and the town turned it into the local museum. And shortly thereafter, the Historic Sites Advisory Board of Manitoba put up a monument to Grove on the grounds. And so you can go there still today, even though the building is unoccupied, and you can see the sign to Grove. And then if you're really interested, you can go over to the cemetery because Grove is buried there. Even though he died in Ontario, his heart was still here in Manitoba, mainly because his daughter, his first child, who died at a very young age, at the age of 12, had I think he was simply grief-stricken when she died. And so when he died, he was buried here next to her.
Wow. Nice story. What are you going to tell us about next week?
Well, of course, Settlers of the Marsh refers to the area west of Gladstone that was quite marshy.
Yes. Mm.
And I'm going to carry on with the marsh theme next week.
Okay. Thanks, Gordon.
Yeah, you're welcome, Terry.
See you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.